Mentality monsters. I'm going to use the word with the orange rugby team.
Someone press my arm.
Take it off, Liverpool. Let's take it off the Reds and let's attach it to the Ireland rugby team.
OTB AM. Live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM with Gillette Labs. Get the ultimate shave or your money back. Neon Night Edition available now.
Andrew Mangan of Arsblog is with us. Andrew, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you guys?
What's the mood in the camp?
It's pretty good, have to say. I was over for the game on Sunday, and there's just an incredible sense of optimism and belief around the stadium before the game, after the game. Not verging over into anything like arrogance, because I think people understand there's a long way to go still, 10 games and a lot to play for. But, you know, how could you not be in a good mood sitting 8 points clear at the top of the Premier League table at this point of the season?
It's such a weird season too, with the World Cup break in the middle of it. So, I'm sure the level of excitement when the team started to play well was great. I was like, oh, we could be a top four team. And then the World Cup happens and it's like, we're still top of the table and the run of fixtures isn't that bad. We could still be top at Easter. So at what point do you teeter from not arrogance but into a sense of belief that actually this is the year where something magical is happening?
It's a really good question. I think some of the big games this season have been a demonstration of the progress that Arsenal have made. They beat Liverpool, they beat Tottenham home and away, they beat Manchester United at home. You know, the results that in previous seasons might just have gone against Arsenal have gone with us. And post World Cup, I think the big worry was how are we going to cope without Gabriel Jesus, because he was so important and so transformative, and was that injury going to have a significant effect on the team and its ability to get results? We were 5 points clear before Gabriel Jesus got injured. We were 5 points clear when Gabriel Jesus came back. So I think that sense that there is a perhaps more depth to the squad than people might have given Arsenal credit for was another big, a positive, a thing that makes you believe that perhaps this could happen this season.
The transfer dealings have been absolutely brilliant, particularly from the end of last season to this point. The two Premier League winners who come in, Jesus, obviously, and Zinchenko. But then in the January window, to pick up the players they did in the manner they did, where they're kind of like massively undervalued by their current club for whatever reason. One's a falling out, one's because there's 6 million players at Chelsea. And for those players to just add immediately options to the starting team, it's very rare for that to happen in January.
Yeah, because Arsenal were after Mykhailo Mudryk, as we know. I mean, it's possible they could have got him and he could be having the same kind of difficulty that he's having at Chelsea. I do think perhaps Chelsea being a bit of a basket case at the moment is playing a part in that. But certainly Trossard coming in and providing assists and giving more depth up front when Nketiah got injured, his contribution has been absolutely sensational, really. And I think as well, Jorginho wouldn't have been everyone's favourite. Arsenal have done some deals with Chelsea in the past that haven't gone down particularly well. You wouldn't say those players are favourites in any way, but he's come in, and what he's allowed Thomas Partey to do is just sort of sit out a couple of games and make sure that he's ready for the big ones in the Premier League.
And like, for all that, sort of one of the non-Hollywood names, Andrew, and Ben White, it almost sort of reminds me of the Johnny Sexton been left out of the Lions squad bit, where it sort of has seemed to give him an unbelievable kick in his career. And, you know, if he continues to play like he did against Palace at the weekend, this is a guy who's going to be in a lot of England squads to come. But being left out might be exactly what sort of Arsenal fans will delight in over the next couple of months.
I don't think Ben White is out of the England squad because of his quality as a footballer. I think there's something else going on there. He's probably been the best English right back in the Premier League this season. And for a guy who played all of last season at centre half, it's been amazing to watch how he has developed and that relationship he's got with Bukayo Saka on the right-hand side. If you ask me this morning, am I grateful that he's out of the England squad? Absolutely. I don't want him anywhere near it. I'm looking at Haaland being taken out of the Norway squad right now and thinking, Arsenal could do with a bit of that. Take Saka out, take Odegaard out if he can do it. But, you know, Ben White has been absolutely brilliant. He's a sort of vindication of the transfer policy that Arsenal have undertaken in the last couple of years. There were a lot of eyebrows raised when Arsenal paid Brighton £50 million for him, sort of similar to the money they paid for Aaron Ramsdale. Nobody's batting an eyelid now. These two guys and others have been absolutely sensational.
Who's responsible for the transfer policy? You know, obviously when Liverpool won their title, they went and signed Alisson and Van Dijk, and it was transformative. Arsenal's has been less two world-class players immediately injected into the team, but it's been a series of really good bits of business done over a protracted period of time. Is there a similar style committee at Liverpool, or who has the biggest influence?
I think they had to take stock at one point because they'd done, you know, going back to Chelsea deals, they'd done a deal for Willian, which really didn't work out. And it felt a bit like the club were always trying these short-term fixes. And I think across the board, at board level, from the owners to Edu, who is the sporting director, technical director, Mikel Arteta, they put in place a plan. They had to do something different. So they recruited young players. They recruited players from the Premier League. Developing a team, you know, a young team that could grow together. It's probably grown quicker than most people would have expected, but I think they just got to a point where they said, look, we have to do things a little bit differently, a bit more intelligently, smarter. Don't throw bad money at players who really don't have any significant future at the club. So the short-term deals have gone out the window. I mean, you could look at what we've done in January and say Trossard and Jorginho aren't exactly long-term signings, but they've come after signing a load of players in the 20, 21, 22-year-old bracket, which makes it easier to make those signings because you're not as reliant on them. And I think the core of the group is still really young and growing together and has lots of room for improvement.
As part of that, it feels like there was pressure last year externally on the manager for a period of time. But from what you're saying, it feels like there was alignment at board level and within everywhere that essentially their guy was Arteta and they were going to allow him to exercise the collective plan.
Absolutely. I mean, it's probably forgotten, but before the end of last season, Mikel Arteta signed a new contract. That was before the race for the top four was over. Ultimately, Arsenal didn't finish in the top four. They were pipped to it by Tottenham. But Arteta had been given the backing of the club before that. So he very much is the guy that they see as the future. He's done an incredible job since he came in. There have been ups and downs, of course. But when you consider everything Arsenal as a club have been through over the last number of years with the end of Arsene Wenger, Unai Emery, all of that, the club, like, it's like night and day now. Night and day, the difference in how people feel about the way the club is run is just off the charts.
We were chatting in advance of the game against Sporting, wondering that, like, ultimately, if you don't have anything else to play for this season, really, then the Premier League, is it a disaster if they were to go out? Maybe the manner in which they went out is going to leave a very sour taste. And I know as an Arsenal fan, you're like, I want my trophies. Give me my trophies. But at the same time, if you're cold and calculating as the manager, you're going, okay, 10 games. If we just perform at the level we know we're capable of, we're actually going to be champions at the end of the season.
I can only speak for myself. There were Europa League exits which were more painful than this one. It has to be said, because that was basically the be-all and end-all of the season. The Europa League was a chance for a trophy, a European trophy. Arsenal don't have too many of those, so there was a lot invested in that. And then, of course, there's the double prize of getting into the Champions League by virtue of winning the Europa League. So there were a lot of eggs in the Europa League basket in previous seasons. This time around, it's much more easy to compartmentalize a European exit because there is something else to play for, something bigger to play for. And Manchester City, who are the title rivals, are in the FA Cup. They're in the Champions League. They've got the Premier League to deal with. They have a big squad, and they have all the experience of going deep into these competitions and performing at a high level. But I think if you're asking, you know, the Europa League, maybe this season was a chance to stress test the Arsenal squad. Was it strong enough to compete properly across two fronts? Maybe the exit tells you that no. It's not quite there yet. There's still work to do in terms of squad building and recruitment and things like that. So in the context of where we are and what's to play for, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to be out of the Europa League, because, like you say, there's 10 Premier League games. It gives Mikel Arteta and the players more time to organize, to prepare, to recuperate from the intensity of these last 10 games, which is going to be it's going to be tough going, I think, because there's some difficult fixtures in there. But you would rather, let's say, play Liverpool away without having to deal with going to Juventus either side of that.
You were there to see the concession against Palace the weekend, Andrew, you said at the top, and there's been so much spoken about the set-piece concessions by Arsenal this season. I don't know if there's like a bit of PTSD that dates back to the last little blip at the start of last month in that Tarkowski goal. Like, it does feel like they... I almost don't view it so much as a set-piece thing as it's been a bit vulnerable from a wide ball at times. They can look a little bit at sixes and sevens, despite the quality that you've already outlined that exists in that area of the pitch. What's your view on it?
I think it's something that will probably be a worry for Mikel Arteta. You know, over the international break, I think he'll probably sit down with his coaching staff and think about, you know, how they can improve in that regard. You know, it's one of those where it doesn't really matter when you've scored four at the other end. Letting one in is never good, but you can live with it because you've won 4-1, like you say, at Everton away, when you don't take your chances and you concede from a set piece. You know, that can be really, really costly. So I think primarily it is just a bit of a period in the season where a few goals have gone in that way, and it looks maybe a bit more serious than it is. But I don't think it's something the manager will take lightly, because he's very much a perfectionist. He does look for his players to win every challenge, win every duel, win every header. And when they don't, he's not going to be happy. So he'll be looking at those things quite closely. But I think in general, Arsenal's defensive record and the ability from set pieces and those kinds of things has been pretty good for most of the season. So hopefully it's just a temporary thing.
Yeah, we need to improve that, was the words of Arteta, which I read in the aftermath of that. I was like, yeah, that's good. That's good information. Now, how the hell do you do that? Of course, is the next step. Can we ask you one about events up the road? I'm sure you're, as much as you're delighting in everything that's happening in your own club at the minute, Tottenham's little implosion, I'm sure, is doing no harm as well. This, like, feels to me to be a masterclass by Antonio Conte, because he's like wangled away out the door where nobody's saying he's a particularly bad manager. I've seen him linked with Juventus this morning. This is a masterclass, isn't it?
Well, if you're asking me as an Arsenal fan what I think of it, it's pretty funny, to be honest, the way he went in on the players and went in on the owners of the football club. He wasn't pulling any punches. I think the best part about it is this crisis is happening while Tottenham are in the top four. You know, they've been in worse positions in their time, and who knows where it goes from here. But he did sound like a man who is just completely fed up. And I think, you know, as funny as it is, objectively, it's very difficult to argue with a lot of the stuff that he said about the history of the Tottenham, if you remember Chiellini making that comment in the past. So the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, there's greater focus on what Arsenal need to do between now and the end of the season, but we're 20 points clear of them, and that's always a happy place to be.
The women's team are up against Bayern Munich in a Champions League quarterfinal. It's part of their history that they are actually Champions League winners. So they go into games like this with a greater sense of expectation. And I think there's a good chance that they might be able to come through this tie.
Hopefully. I mean, obviously the loss of Beth Mead and Vivian Miedema, you know, is a real blow to any team to lose two players of that caliber and that quality. But there is a real belief within this squad. There's a good togetherness. The manager is doing a good job. And yeah, they're in action tonight, fingers crossed. You know, they can bring home another European trophy. Like I said, Arsenal's, for its history and everything else, the record in Europe isn't as good as it should be. So if the women can add to the trophy collection, then that'd be great.
Andrew, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
OTB AM with Gillette Labs. Get the ultimate shave or your money back. Neon Night Edition, available now.